Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
One, two, three. Good love.
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. It's snowing here in North Carolina. We're going to get about 1 or 2 inches. I think closer you get to the eastern seaboard, they're getting more. Oh, well, it's cold. In a lot of places, it's cold. But we will muddle through nonetheless. We had a great show. We are going to empower you because that's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, sleep and disease, sleep versus disease, actually. And those two are linked. And how linked are they? Well, we're going to find out. And we're also going to be talking about the common cold, you know, some stuff going around. Well, you know, February is the big cold and flu month. It's the big one. That's where more people get sick than any other winter month, so brace yourself. And we'll see how the hour rolls. We might cover some old wives' tales if we get time. And we got a quack report, but before we get to that, big reminder coming up, February will be here before you know it. Of course, we've got Valentine's Day. But we also have Dr. Rebecca Carley. She's going to be with us on the 18th. So she'll be bringing us up to date on some new vaccine and news and diseases out there that will empower you to stay healthier. So she'll be with us, and I hope you can join us. And if you do like those shows that we do with Dr. Carley, then you're going to love her articles that she writes in the American Survival Newsletter. So you want to sign up for that, and it's free. You go to the powerherbs.com website, and you just click on the newsletters tab, and you can sign up there, and it's free. It goes out every week. All right, before we do the quacker, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, lifting them up in prayer. God's hand of protection be on them. I'm seeking Lord's face on a daily basis and asking for his divine protection on America. So we need to usher in some morality. We need to usher in some common sense. We need to usher in some righteousness. And we need to usher in a republic, for crying out loud, because that's what we're supposed to be. Let's act like it. And it's our job to ask the Lord for intervention, and it's his decision, but it's our job to ask. So seek the Lord's face and mind the time. It grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Oh, thank you, Frank. What do we got in the quacker? Well, here's something on the GM maize, the GM corn. Egyptian scientists, new study. They found that BT corn, the genetically modified stuff, that crazy stuff that they're telling us is good for us. Well, they did some more studies on this. They said that the GM corn is not equal to the non-genetically modified corn. Well, like, we knew that. We didn't need scientists to say that. They say the corn, the GM corn, is actually toxic to rats after just about barely 3 months, they said. Now, we know about that one rat study that they did overseas. Was it France? And they said, oh, the gross, grotesque tumors, that was invalid. Well, here's one out of Egypt. And they're saying there was also a second study that they did, and they examined the effects of rats on the GM corn diet, and they said it caused changes in body organ function and in weight and in their blood chemistry, according to a summary of the research from GMWatch.org. Now, let's see what else they said about this. So the rats were fed genetically modified corn. Researchers found clear signs of organ pathology in the group that were fed the GM corn versus the group that was fed non-GM corn. So obvious signs of pathology in the liver, the kidneys, and the small intestine. They didn't also examine the testes of the rats and revealed tissue necrosis or death, the shedding of the spermatocomial cells, which, you know, form the foundation of the sperm cells. So it affects male fertility. And that was just after 91 days on the corn. So researchers say that the clinical pathology is evident that GM corn causes quick damage. Wow. They're feeding that to livestock. People. All right, moving along in the quack report. I don't eat anything GM corn. I don't eat rice that's GM. I don't eat any of that. I always read labels, you know. Okay. What else? Researchers are discovering something about that swine flu vaccine, you know, the kind that rolled out in 2009, the bird flu. They had the swine flu in there, too, you know. But a team of Swedish clinicians have linked that vaccine to increased narcolepsy in our young kids. Yeah, Danish researchers are now understanding how that's working. They get it, how they program that vaccine to do that. Swedish clinicians are linking the GlaxoSmithKline 2009 Pandemrix vaccine, I guess that's how you pronounce it, related to the neurological diseases, including narcolepsy. So they used some data from the regional vaccination and national health registries that encompassed about 61% of the Swedish population. and also covered 7 healthcare regions. And what they found is there was a distinct correlation between the vaccine and narcolepsy starting in individuals younger than 20 years of age, and also it steadily increased in adults between the ages of 21 and 30. Now, Dr. Pressen from the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm also confirmed that the Panoramix vaccines increased the risk of narcolepsy in children and adolescents, and also a large number of other neurological and immune system-related diseases. Wow. Dr. Carly's got to know about this. She probably already does. So narcolepsy, as you know, is characterized by the brain's inability to regulate normal sleep and wake cycles. So this vaccine manufactured by GlaxoSmithKline contains this oil in water emulsion adjuvant called ASO3. So what the Swedish and the Danish people figured out is the adjuvant is added to the vaccine to accelerate the body's immune response. But what happens is the Panorix increases the narcolepsy because it confuses the immune system. Dr. Bridget Cornum, senior researcher at the Department of Diagnostics in Klostrup Hospital in Denmark, says the immune system can become confused when two molecules are very similar. So in their study, that H1N1 molecule is similar to the hypocertin, which is a neuropeptide in the brain, which regulates sleep. So this is how they made it. This is how they did that. Now, Panorex, GlaxoSmithKline, didn't go to anybody in the United States, okay? Just went, it went through Europe, England, Scandinavia, Finland, but wasn't administered here in the United States. And of course, the company GlaxoSmithKline has received details that at least 900 people from 14 countries have developed the narcolepsy. So that means 1 in 5,500 or 55,000 people who got the vaccine either developed narcolepsy, which also has disabled their sleep patterns, their learning and coping and thinking ability. Yeah, stay away from the vaccines, folks. That's what I would do if I was you. Okay, last but not least in the Quack Report, a little bit of the Affordable Care Act is in the news, the Obamacare, if you will. Large number of uninsured citizens continue to refuse the health insurance plans designed by the Affordable Care Act. Yep, 15% of those expected to sign up actually have. Low numbers. What's the government's plan B? Well, plan B is to tax people that don't sign up. So the new tax penalty on your 2014 income tax returns will affect citizens starting at the age of 27 and will relatively be small the first year, this year, but it will increase as the years go by. So, for instance, $95 per person or per year or 1% of the income for 2014. I know you guys have been hearing it, $80, $85, but it's $95. Also, for 2015, that tax goes to $325 or 2% of a person's income, and whichever's the higher. And then in 2016, it's $695, or that's per person, or 2.5% of your income. And get this, folks, 2017 and forward, the tax penalty will increase by the rate of inflation. Could be 8%, 15%. 25% of your income. It means that there's a perpetual substantial increase that could spiral out of control in the next few years. That's our government. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. I don't know about you, but that's totally unacceptable. I signed up for a qualifying insurance that was affordable under, ChristianHealthMinistries.org, so chministries.org, go check it out, and you'll spend $45 a month on a decent plan. All right, let's see. We got a clip. Our magical engineer has been doing his due diligence, and he's got this clip. I want to introduce it first. This is a clip with Dinesh D'Souza and Michael Sherman. They're at the Oregon State University at the Socratic Club, and they're trying to educate the young people there about what's going on, especially in a government and the Affordable Care Act. They're pretty much calling it an inverted morality and how people are thinking. So let's just get a clue and roll the clip.
In my understanding of Christ's teachings, taking care of the poor and the sick were of the utmost importance, and so I was hoping both of you could talk about why you don't think that universal health care is a very important issue to Christians these days. Thank you.
Wow, universal health care. Well, it depends what you mean by take care of the health of everybody. Yes, of course, we're all in favor of that. Everybody should have health insurance. Insurance goes back centuries, the idea. It's a great idea. The question is, who should pay for it? How should this be paid for? What's the most efficient way to make sure everybody gets that coverage? And that's just, I think that's more of a political issue than a Christian religion moral issue.
Yeah, I think there's also the question of, I think the question is often ignored in these contexts is that whenever the government is involved, there's an element of compulsion.
Yes.
And the effect of compulsion is always to strip the virtue out of a transaction. If, Michael, if you and I are walking on the beach and I'm hungry and you have a sandwich, and I say, Michael, I'm hungry, give me your sandwich. And you say, yes, here it is. I say, thank you. Now, that's a moral transaction. You feel good about having done something good. I feel a sense of obligation. Maybe someday, if I'm doing well, I'll share my sandwich with somebody else. But now, here's a third situation. You and I are walking on that same riverbank. I'm hungry. You have a sandwich. And here comes Obama on a horse. He gets off the horse, puts a gun to your head, and says, Michael, turn over the sandwich to Dinesh. And so you do. And then he puts his gun back and he drives away. Now, the outcome is the same. I mean, I have the sandwich. But the moral content of that transaction is completely different. You deserve no moral credit. You didn't give willingly. I don't even feel a sense of gratitude. I feel a sense of entitlement. I feel that you actually owe me 7 sandwiches, but you only gave me 1. So you can see how they're... The whole thing is confused when you bring in the element of coercion.
Indeed. I should point out, just for the other side, their argument is that, for example, if we need to fund the military to protect our liberties from foreign countries, and you say, well, but that's an element of coercion, and you're going to take my taxes at the point of a gun and fund these military, and I don't want to do it, and the government shouldn't do that, then we're not going to have a military, and then we're going to be invaded, and then somebody else is going to put a gun to your head. Either way, there's going to be a certain element of coercion.
But even that doesn't fully work, because the military does protect you and me both, whereas the taking of the sandwich to you, from you to me, hurts you and benefits me. So my point is, any government that robs Peter to pay Paul can obviously keep counting on Paul's support.
That's the problem.
Okay, let's move to the next question.
Mr. D'Souza, you began with humans are bent or inherently morally imperfect. In the sandwich reference, you presumably believe that Obama should not hold the metaphorical gun to Sherman's head, that he will share that sandwich freely. If humans are not inherently moral, how is this a valid expectation, and why should Obama not hold the gun to Sherman's head, so to speak?
Mr. D'Souza?
Because the guy holding the gun is no better than the guy to whose head he's holding it to. So in other words, sure, Michael Shermer may be a selfish guy who wants to keep his sandwich. But nevertheless, let's consider the motives of the guy with the gun. Is he contributing his own sandwich? No. He's taking Michael Shermer's sandwich and giving it to someone else and then proclaiming himself to be a morally wonderful human being.
Look, I'm not denying the core principle involved here, right? I'm simply saying that here we are as a country, and for two centuries we've had people pulling the wagon. And we recognize, and I would agree, that there is a group of people, and you can disagree about how many, but I would say about 10% of people who are weak and disadvantaged and need to sit in the wagon and have the rest of us pull that wagon. Okay? Now, again, you can disagree about how many people should be in the wagon, but that number of people has been increasing considerably. This was kind of what Romney's getting at, that at some point there are more people in the wagon than there are pulling. And then people who are pulling begin to think, well, maybe I should stop pulling and get in the wagon. It's kind of nicer in the wagon. And what my criticism of Obama is, instead of saying, listen, I really want to thank the people who are pulling the wagon, he goes, the people who are pulling the wagon are greedy, selfish, and materialistic. And the people sitting in the wagon are wonderful. He is morally demonizing the wagon pullers and championing the superior morality of the guys who are sitting in there. And all I'm saying is this is an inverted morality. The guys who are actually contributing to help the disadvantaged, these are the sacrificial people of our society, and they're the ones who deserve a little more credit.
Next question, please.
All righty. So that was a little snippet from Oregon State University Socratic Club with Dinesh D'Souza and Michael Shermer, and they were discussing the inverted morality of our day. Like, I liked Dinesh. I think he was on point. I really do. Hope you enjoyed that. All right, so we're going to be talking about some sleep versus disease, because there's been some new research about how important getting some sleep is for your health. So the topic of sleep affecting our health, nothing new, but like I said, there's some new studies that have magnified just how important a good night's sleep can be for your health. So lately, people of all ages are sleep deprived, which, you know, has undermined their health on a cellular level. So long-term loss of regular sleep causes an accumulative damage to the body. So in the United States, we have about 2 million children and 70 million adults not getting adequate sleep each night, and this can make them vulnerable to disease. So what does not getting enough sleep mean to our health and our economy? Well, we're going to take a look at that. Let's talk about the cost of no sleep. The lack of sleep in America is estimated to cost the U.S. economy about $15.9 billion in healthcare costs. And why is that? Well, not getting enough sleep is not something we should dismiss as a minor inconvenience. On a cellular level, the sleep helps the body to regenerate, helps our body to heal, and it keeps our immune system healthy. So when we don't get a sleep, the natural sleep, this has become actually big business to the pharmaceutical companies. They net about $2 billion a year selling sleep medications, and these drugs account for a third of all the prescribed drugs sold in America. So medical doctors like Dr. Guy Meadows, who I mentioned the other night, he's at the sleep school. He advises us not to use. He's against using sleep medications because long-term use of sleep aids will corrupt the body's ability to naturally go to sleep. So a rebound effect is a guaranteed problem when using sleep medications. The result is having insomnia worse than when you started taking the drug. So sleep aids do not promote the natural sleep cycle and the REM sleep, the rapid eye movement sleep, that the body requires. Sadly, sleeping pill users have a 50% higher mortality rate than non-users. Let's talk about extreme sleep deprivation. Dr. Charles Ziesler, University Medical School, he's a sleep expert. He testified in the Dr. Conrad Murray trial involving Michael Jackson's death. Now, according to the trial records, Michael Jackson had gone as long as 60 days without sleep. The previous world's record, longest record for going without sleep, was 276 hours or 11 and a half days. And that was recorded back in 1964. So the propofol drug that was administered to Jackson put him into a coma-like state, and it disrupted the normal sleep pattern. Although patients given the propofol can awake feeling refreshed, as if they had genuine sleep, but on the cellular level, the body knows they really haven't. According to Dr. Ziesler, Jackson's chronic lack of authentic sleep with the REM sleep pattern affected his memory, and it caused paranoia and audio hallucinations. And it's Dr. Ziesler's professional opinion that Jackson, regardless of the propofol overdose, was living on borrowed time and would have died within the 80th dose of his propofol, but he died on the 63rd dose. So that lack of sleep he was perpetually getting had, you know, repercussions. It's just a cumulative problem. Well, let's talk about men and women and their sleep. You know, who's more affected by lack of sleep? Well, there is a pretty significant disparity between the sexes when it comes to getting a good night's sleep. Women are twice as likely as men to have difficulty falling and staying asleep. So for women, issues that can interfere with sleep are pregnancy, menopause, hormonal changes, if you will. These can worsen the sleep patterns, causing a sleep disorder. And then, of course, our elderly, who doesn't have an elderly family member who's, you know, up at the crack of dawn or before the crack of dawn, the elderly are prone to sleep problems. They are. Over half of those over the age of 65 experience disrupted sleep, and those over 65, that's about 13% of our U.S. population, they consume about 30% of all the prescription drugs, and 40% of them are prescription sleeping pills. Well, let's look at insomnia real close up and personal here. Insomnia is described in many ways, but in general, it is a sleeping problem. It's a sleep problem, and it can cause illness. So you could have difficulty falling asleep. That's actually into the category of insomnia, where you have trouble getting to sleep. You sleepwalk. You wake up, and you can't get back to sleep. You have unrefreshed sleep. You have a racing mind that keeps you awake. You have daytime fatigue and drowsiness, and you're really tired. And you're a little bit irritable. And, you know, you have difficulty concentrating. So, and by the way, difficulty getting to sleep is if you've been laying there more than an hour. Okay? The normal way to get to sleep is within an hour of going to bed. After that, you're in that category of creeping into the insomnia category. Now, you know, Einstein knew how important sleep was, getting adequate sleep, and he admitted he needed 10 hours of adult sleep each night for him to function normally the next day. And he even said if he was going to do physics, he needed 12 hours of sleep. We got to take a break. We'll be right back with more.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
O7, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. We're talking about sleep, not getting enough, and how can it, you know, cause disease? And if you have disease, what does it do to your existing disease? Well, first, let's talk about what happens, the benefits, when you do get adequate sleep. And, of course, you know, adults need 8 to 10 hours. Children need 10 to 12 hours. You know that. So if you get those kind of sleep patterns going where you're getting enough sleep each night, well, it's going to help you grow if you're young enough and you're still growing. It's going to assist in growth. It also regenerates brain neurons, those are your brain cells, and it releases hormones and it builds muscle. It burns calories. So if you've been wondering why you're not dropping weight, hello, get some sleep. Also, it improves your memory, balances your emotion, and improves school grades for those that are young enough to be in school. Now let's look at a comparison. When you get deprived REM sleep, that's that, you know, rapid eye movement when you get into that deep sleep pattern. So if you're not getting enough of that, you're going to be cranky, of course, and you're going to be sluggish. It's going to hamper your creativity and impair your memory. You're going to be drowsy, of course, and you're going to have 4 times higher risk of having an accident. Also, you're going to have a higher risk of illness and disease. It encourages rapid aging, and it's a cancer accelerator, which we're going to see in just a minute from some new research. And it also alters immune system. It produces anxiety and paranoia, as we saw with Michael Jackson. It creates depression, mental confusion, and disrupts learning ability. It also creates a loss of balance and loss of appetite. Your reflexes are 10 times slower, but your emotional responses are 10 times stronger. Well, let's talk about the common causes for not getting some sleep. There are a lot of reasons why people are not getting sleep. Their sleep's disrupted. So let's look at some of the common reasons. Sometimes it's the prescription medicines they're on. Steroids can keep you awake. Stress can also be a big sleep disruptor, as well as anxiety. And as we normally age, our sleep patterns can hit a speed bump, if you will. Caffeine addiction. And if you use caffeine before bed, that'll keep you awake. Sugar, also taken before sleep or bed, is also going to keep you up. Jet lag and shift work are big sleep disruptors, as well as alcohol after dinner. So if you're drinking it late in the evening, it's a stimulant. Also, if you're angry about something, if you're grief-stricken, if you're a smoker, if you are have some sort of substance abuse issue, these are all going to keep you awake. Parasites can also keep you awake, as well as environmental temperature changes and, of course, disease, if you have a disease. So the number one cause for not sleeping, though, not sleeping well, is usually being sick with something. And the lack of sleep is also going to promote the disease and make it worse. So individuals with serious illness such as cancer, angina, migraine headaches, asthma, arthritis, pulmonary diseases, restless leg syndrome, and depression are more apt to develop a sleep disorder. Well, let's look at some of this new research I mentioned. This is a study published in the Journal of Cancer Research, and it studied GM mice and sleep. So they were genetically modified mice. They gave two groups of mice some cancer tumor cells, and in one group, they would disrupt the sleep of the mice every 2 minutes, making them wake up and then go back to sleep. The other group, they didn't disrupt the sleep. So in 4 weeks' time, the group of mice that had the disrupted sleep, their tumors grew twice the size as the tumors of the mice who got a normal sleep. So Dr. David Gozel of the University of Chicago Comer Children's Hospital, who conducted this study, concluded that poor sleep significantly impacts the immune system and how it deals with diseases like cancer. So just remember, with regard to hospital environments, which are loud and noisy and they don't promote good sleep, all those nurses coming in all hours of the night, machines beeping, how can anybody get any sleep? All right, let's talk about some habits that could be promoting your sleep problem. There was a study done by the Sleep Research and Treatment Center at Pennsylvania State University, and they found that smoking will increase the production of the nervous system chemical catecholamine, and it keeps you awake. So also they said alcohol, just like caffeine, is a nervous system stimulant and contributes to your sleep disorder. So let's see if there's any folk medicine that could maybe help us out of this sleep problem. American settlers roaming across the great the United States, they used herbs to help them get a good night's sleep. They would take some red bergamot and pennyroyal tea and drink that before bed. And then, of course, in Germany during the 18th century, they would use lemon balm herb, some anise, and honey tea was given to promote good sleep. And in Old England, mulled apple cider with cloves and cinnamon provided a hot brew right before bed and promoted sleep. Now, during World War II, British physicians used valerian root to help the soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder. Back then, they called it shell shock. And other herbs that are used in folklore remedies were chamomile, basil, lavender, and even cedarwood. So there are some things that can help the body kind of get into that basic sleep pattern. I encourage you to check them out. So, you know, forget the counting of the sheep. That never works. But before you run off to the pharmacy for a sleep aid, you may want to try to adjust your diet, exclude some foods that may be irritating your nervous system or your digestive tract, and you could keep a food journal for a couple of weeks to kind of narrow down which foods those are. Now, if you still need a little help, maybe some black walnut. You can get it in a tincture. It has the natural iodine in it, which feeds the thyroid gland and also helps get rid of parasites, but it helps regulate sleep patterns, that thyroid. Also, valerian root tincture. It's a nice herb, like the British physicians used, to take the edge off the central nervous system, but it wasn't a sedative, okay? So it wouldn't knock you out or anything. Lobelia herb is nice. It helps remove tension from muscles, and it promotes that normal sleep cycle, helps you drift off nicely to sleep. Also, not a sedative. So you can use both the valerian and the lobelia herb together if you need to. If you're looking for those, they're on the powerherbs.com website, valerian root tincture, and if you're lobelia for the muscle tension, that's in the relaxation formula. Now, if you need a little bit more natural vitamin B along with your valerian root or your lobelia, you might want to look at the emotional stress formula, which is nice. Feeds the nerves. That's vitamin Bs are great for the nervous system. But if you need an overall multivitamin that is going to be delivered to the system in like 60 seconds, then you want to check out the powerherbs.com's website and check out Body Foundation Food Mix, which you just add to juice or water. And it has that multivitamin complex, all organic protein, too, from plants, which you'll love. And all this, along with your organ cleansing and immune-boosting herbal products, are at Apothecary Herbs. You can go to their website, thepowerherbs.com, or simply give them a call toll-free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. But if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. Or the website's thepowerherbs.com, because that's where your healthcare options just became endless. So you have some natural ways to get to sleep and stay away from those drugs that are so addictive and not healthy. And don't forget, February, like I said, is the big cold and flu month. So you can power up now and save 20% on the larger size immune-boosting formulas at thepowerherbs.com website while supplies last. So you can check that out there. And if you're on the website, don't forget to check out the Power Greens for pets. You want to keep your pets healthy, too. And it's more economical and a certified organic product. It's more economical than the Dynavite vitamin mix that people are using. So check out the comparison of the Power Greens for pets and get those pets healthy as well. All right, we're going to shift gears, and we are going to be talking about the common cold, because I don't know about you, but I've been out in this, out and about, doing things, post office, banks, grocery. People are sneezing. I've noticed this. More and more people are sneezing at you. So cold is big coming up February, of course. And, a billion people come down with the cold and flu each season. That's a lot of people. And it's a common cold, It doesn't have to be the flu, but you use the common cold. And that's generated by a virus, and it affects, the upper respiratory tract. There's about 1,400 known viruses, according to science, and 200 of those are the primary culprits for our common cold that we get. So people You know, they still go to the doctor's office to be treated for a common cold, and they discovered that, you know, they're only going to get suggestions and over-the-counter suggestions from their doctor because there's no antibiotic for this, right? You know, it wasn't until, like, 1956 in England that the common cold virus was actually given a name, okay? Rhinovirus. You know, University of Maryland in the year 2000 actually mapped out the genetic sequence of a rhinovirus. So modern medicine really doesn't have a cure for these types of viruses. They say, well, they just have to run its course, and your immune system has to deal with it. Well, depending on how strong your immune system is, will dictate how long you're going to suffer with this thing. And perhaps it's a virus your immune system hasn't encountered before, so it may take a little longer to deal with it. So let's talk about those common symptoms. Can't mistake them for the common cold, stuffy, runny nose, little drainage down the back of your throat, sinus pressure, watery eyes, headache, aches, pain, sneezing, of course, weak sense of smell, can't taste anything, maybe you got a cough. Fever could also be in the mix. That would indicate an infection, usually in the nose or sinus or throat area, because several of these strains of viruses can converge on the body and kind of be disguised as a flu bug even. So how does it get started? Well, the virus enters your body through your mouth or your nose, very contagious. The virus is spread by, you know, maybe breathing in the infectious droplets of someone who sneezed or coughed. And then you become infected with maybe a hand-to-hand contact thing. So you touch your face or your nose, and the virus gets into, you know, the mucous membranes, and there you go, see. So if you rub your eye even or eat from somebody else that's infected, you know, take a sip of their drink or whatever, you can get it that way. So let's say you're at work, co-worker's sick, they're coughing, maybe into their hand or their elbow or wherever, and then they're touching a lot of the same office equipment as you. They're spreading the virus, okay? So incubation period, when you come into contact with these types of rhinoviruses, is 2 to 3 days. They can live on those surfaces that long. So depending on the virus and the health of your immune system, you can be sick anywhere from 2 days to 14 days. Most often they don't last more than 7 days. It's kind of rare to be more than 7 days for a cold. So a cold that lasts longer than 7 days is an indication your immune system is low, and or you have more than just the common cold. Let's talk about how you can lower your risk. These viruses are all around us all the time. We can actually, though, minimize our risk of getting sick with some precautions. Don't overstress yourself, because stress lowers your immune system resistance and your resistance to the cold and viruses and flu bugs. Also, you want to limit your exposure as much as you can to small children like infants and toddlers and preschool kids who are often in environments where cold bugs and viruses are spread. Also, this time of year, we're more susceptible to cold viruses in the fall and winter months because we're indoors more, so we're exposed to more people in closer quarters than ever before. So if you get the flu shot, this actually will give you the flu, and you'll shed off that virus to others, you know, after you get that. So you want to be careful there. Well, let's talk about the cold virus versus the flu virus for a minute, because there are a few differences between them, cold versus influenza. So the common cold has a precursor symptoms that kind of creep in to seriously annoy you, like, you know, a little tickle in your throat, or an itchy or stuffy nose before that full-blown cold hits you. Okay, so that's a big clue. On the other hand, the flu comes on pretty suddenly, usually lasts longer than a cold. So rarely will a cold produce a fever higher than 102 degrees or any significant fatigue. So a cold that lingers can actually produce a lot of mucus, and if the mucus has color to it, it could lead to sinusitis or bronchitis or even an ear infection or walking pneumonia if you're not careful. Now, most folks are going to go see their doctor way before their cold is 10 days old, believe you me. Because if the symptoms do persist, though, past 14 days or get worse, medical treatment may be recommended. Go see what it is you have. Then you know what you can do about it. Now, modern medicine really hasn't come up with a cure for the common colds because there are too many viral strains. There's 100, 200 of them. And in the cold pathogen family, if you will. So since most folks get about 2 colds a year, it's going to take you about 50 years to experience 100 strains of rhinovirus, if they don't mutate. So the other reason is that we're told that, the typical cold, common cold virus, is not life-threatening. So, they don't worry about having an antidote to that. So, disease is a big moneymaker. You'll be back to see the doctor or the pharmacist. That's right. Let me read you a quote for Leonard Horowitz, MD. He says this: they let you know the risks, those whose the people are and what they're doing, and the facts of that, the American medicine, and the truth of that, the national pharmaceutical chemical cartels. He says this: once you know the truth, that what they're up to, their ideology is, how they've been manipulating things all these years, now you're more aware of the risks and you can avoid the risks. Once you've avoided risks, you're actually going to do something for yourself to protect yourself against the current and oncoming plagues. So according to Horowitz, he knows the game in the allopathic medicine area. There's no money in well people, basically. That sums it up. Let's talk about some strange symptoms, though. We get some strange, weird colds, some health blogs are kind of loaded with comments of people describing their symptoms, kind of an uncommon cold, if you will. In some of these cases, there seems to be a combination of cold and flu symptoms all mixed together, and it moves from one area of the body to the other, making the person think that they're getting better and over it, and then only to get sick again. So physicians are really not sure what's going on with this, and they send patients home with really no answers and no prescriptions. So there was a group of people in the Cleveland, Ohio area. They had an unusual occurrence with a church group. The entire church seemed to have come down with some symptoms over a breakfast they were having. They complained of a stuffy left ear, all of them. It was kind of weird. What are the chances that everybody in the church there would have the same symptom? It's kind of weird. So let's talk about the flu shot now. Now, of course, the CDC has their flu vaccine rollout usually in September each year, and the goal is to vaccinate 75 to 80% of Americans. And they're kind of below the percentage, actually. They don't really get to that. They'll get maybe 55 to 65%. So we're told that the flu vaccine has basically several strains. They have the bird flu in there. And they have the swine flu, and of course they pick some sort of rhinovirus this year, and that's in there, and another flu strain is in there. So you get several things in one shot. So the coronavirus is basically in your flu vaccine. So this is why a lot of people are coming down with common cold when they go get the flu vaccine. According to some doctors, the avian flu was first reported in 2003, SARS, that severe acute respiratory syndrome, was also found, and it was also listed as a mutating supergerm. So they believe that some of these germs were cultivated to be used in vaccines, not to protect us, but to infect us. So it's said that the viruses will play an important role and the upcoming super plagues health experts have been predicting for decades. Now, some of the findings are considered to be, conspiracy theory. But often Dr. Carley says this: if you have research evidence to back up your claim, then it becomes a reality. End of quote. So according to some of the things that Dr. Carley's uncovered, vaccines are considered bioweapons by the government. All vaccines are considered bioweapons by the government. A lot of people think, oh, it's just that, you know, chemical warfare stuff they're talking about. No, that's chemical warfare. We're talking about vaccines. All right, so you want to be careful out there. Transition period, usually when people get vaccinated, lasts weeks, sometimes even months. So according to health experts, even the Institute of Science in Society of London have questioned if the SARS virus was genetically engineered. Yeah, scientists are asking some interesting questions. All right, so let's talk about if your pets are getting vaccinated. In the vet world, they're now vaccinating pets for flu. Yeah, the H3N8, and it's like a two-series vaccine shot. And it costs the pet owner about $50 a shot. So, you know, they expanded the, flu vaccine to our animal friends now. So be very careful out there. Just do your homework before you do that. All right, so here's some steps we want to go over real quickly here. There are some steps that you can do to help avoid common cold, rhinoviruses, and flus. You want to try as often as you can to detox your body. So you have a buildup of toxins. The filtering organs can't keep up. We're in a very toxic area of history. So you're going to have to do more for your system on a regular basis. It's okay to detox every 3 months, but some people usually get it in twice a year. But you can do it as often as every 3 months. So that's going to help. Also, you want to, change your body chemistry. Check that, chemistry is as far as your pH. There are some test saliva strips that you can get at school supply stores. A lot of chemistry teachers will get that for their kids, and you can check to see what your pH is, see if you're too alkaline or too acidic. So if you're more acidic, it tends to be a breeding ground for bacterial infectious agents. So if you drink water with lemon for a pH, you can do that. And you can put a little bit of baking soda in, make a lemon fizz. That's excellent for picking up and getting the citrus, the vitamin C in there. So boost your immune system. That's also on the list. Use some organic whole food supplements if you're supplementing. Don't use the synthetic kind. Get more oxygen in your system. Do your skin brushing when you're in the shower. Do some exercise on a regular basis. And de-stress your body as much as you can. Get a massage or relax in the bathtub and, turn off your phone and get away from the computer. You just need to detach and decompress sometimes, and that's going to be amazing. But if you need immune-boosting, organ-cleansing products or cold and flu stuff, you know where to go, thepowerherbs.com. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.